Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about the heart. And the heart is what you center your life around. So today, we're going to continue, and we're talking about a believing heart. It says in Romans 10 that with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So God is always looking at our heart. So He's concerned with our heart. So we want to have a believing heart. We want to believe. The word believe means to hold fast to, cling to, rely totally upon. We want to have a believing heart. A passive faith is not going to work today. If you're passive in your faith, it's not going to hold water. Because everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Everything that will remain will remain. Everything that's to remain will remain. You see that? It talks about that in Hebrews 13. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Amen? And so we don't want to have a passive faith. We want to believe. And we want to be believers, and we want others to know that that's what we believe. And they're watching your life. You know, they're watching you. Your children are watching you. People in your neighborhood are watching you. They are watching you if you say you belong to Jesus. They're watching you. And, you know, what this virus thing going on, you know, I believe people ask me, well, is this God bringing judgment? I don't even want to speak to that. But I do know this. It's causing families to get closer together. And I believe this. It's helping us to see our responsibility. Because it's your responsibility. Your response is your responsibility. So here's what it is. We need to be teaching our children. You see that? You need to be teaching your children. Not leave it up to the church and the school. It's you. You as a parent need to be teaching your children God's will and His ways. You see that? Because here, if they come here and they hear it and they learn it, they go home and it brings confusion in their life. You see that? But when you teach it, and you go and it's all in agreement. There's a unity that God commands the blessing over your life and a protection over your life. He commands it. When He commands it, it gets done. Are you listening to me? So we don't want to have a passive faith. We want to believe, and we want to teach our children His will and His ways. People are watching. You know, everybody under your roof is watching. We have to believe. You see that? We want to communicate that we are believers. And we want to teach our children. And you know, you want to teach your children that if you're married, you want to teach them that how to treat your wife. You should be treating your wife like a princess. You should be opening the door for when you go to the grocery. Doesn't have to be on a date night. You should be opening it. You should treat her like a princess. Make her feel like a princess. Respect and honor her. You know why? Because the marriage is God's example of the church. When people see that, man, they see that the church has the answers. You see this? Husbands, wives, you need to be treating your husbands like a king. I know he may leave his socks in the corner and say, but hey, help him out.
Amen.
Help him out. You make him feel like a king, he will fight a grizzly bear. He'll take a bull. He'll do whatever he can to take care of you. That's the way a marriage is supposed to be. I'm just saying. It affects children. It affects grandchildren. It affects neighbors. Neighbors and little neighbor kids watching us. They come up and the driveway, the garage door's open. They're looking in the garage. I seen one little boy looking at my Harley too long. I said, okay, little boy, it's time to go. Didn't want him getting in there and putting his fingers on it, you know. But people are watching us. I want us to understand. So, we're gonna get to our scripture. Let's go to our scripture. And we'll do the vision to build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in a bond of peace. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for what you're doing in the church worldwide. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to fulfill your will, and you are building your church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Father, we believe we're part of that church. We believe that, and you're building us to fulfill your will. And we thank you for that, because we are the church. This building is not the church. We're the church because we showed up. That's the church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our hearts. Now speak to our hearts by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. The Lord tests the hearts. And so you are going to be tested on a daily basis. A daily basis. Every day. All day. Your heart is tested. Because the heart, if it's left unattended, it will go the wrong direction on its own. It will go the wrong way. It says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. Wow. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I search the heart, I test the mind, to give everyone according to their ways and according to the fruit of their doings. See that? God is always testing our hearts. And your heart is what you center your life around. And so your heart encompasses your soul, your spirit, everything, everything. Are you with me? You, your personality, everything is in your heart. You see that? So, not your bump, bump, blood pumping heart. Your heart is what it encompasses it all. And so God says, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, soul, and strength. So he wants it all. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. That takes, when you get a revelation of how much God loves you, that's what happens when you center your life around him. You start to find out how much God loves you. And you stop bragging about how much you love God. Because when you really start to understand how much God loves you, you don't have to tell anybody how much you love God. It's already showing. You see that? And you're loving your neighbor as yourself. And that's the only way you do. You get a revelation of God's love in your life. It starts to show. Now, we're going to go to Matthew 23, verse 16. Whoa! Everybody say, whoa! Whoa to you! Now hold still. That's what my dad used to say when I was a kid. Hold still a minute. Whoa! This word whoa is really a very negative word. Because it's speaking of what's coming. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the faith community. Jesus is talking to the faith community now. And he's telling them, whoa, something negative. Because they didn't understand that Jesus was the Messiah. You see, sometimes when change takes place, we get full of anxiety, fear, right? This coronavirus, it creates anxiety. Uncertainty creates anxiety. See that? It creates problems. But we're faith people, right? We don't need to have the coast clear. If the coast is clear, we don't need faith. So we need to stop waiting till the coast is clear. Right? We don't need to, we need faith. We need to believe. Because see, if you can't see, that's when you need faith. Because if everything's clear and the path's clear, why do you need faith? You see this? We need to, when it's foggy and ambiguous and uncertain and unclear, that's when we need faith. And this is the time we need faith right now, is now. We can't put our faith in our circumstances, because circumstances and situations are always changing. And feelings and emotions are always changing. You can't put your faith in your feelings and your emotions and the circumstances and the situations. They're going to change in the morning. You see that? We have to put our faith in God and His Word. Are you catching this? And when we begin to do that, our lives begin to take on a whole new meaning. It changes everything when our faith is starting to work. It changes everything. It changes you. It says, whoa. You know, if you come here and I tell you guys to, you need to stop smoking. Do I say that? Have I ever said that? Do you come here and I say, you need to stop smoking that weed? I don't say that, do I? What if you came here and I said, you need to stop this, you need to stop that, and you need to stop this, and you need to stop that? Probably you wouldn't come back. Mask or not, you wouldn't come back. Because that's not my place. That's the Holy Spirit's place. We're following Jesus. You see that? When you're following Jesus, the Holy Spirit's going to show you what you need to stop, what you need to get rid of in your life. You see, if you're out to fulfill His will and His mission, you'll get rid of that extra baggage on that journey. You're going to get rid of that baggage, those habits and things on your own, because you don't want anything to get in your way of you following Jesus. You see, we're following Jesus, not a man, Jesus. And that's what God is calling us to follow Jesus. You see this? And the Holy Spirit will show you what to get rid of and what to take off and get rid of and remove in your life. Am I making sense? Here's the problem. Sometimes people are the problem. Anybody ever had that problem? People? People will have a hard time allowing you to evolve into who you are, because they are stuck on who you were. See that? People will have a hard time allowing you to evolve into who you are, because that's what's really going on. God is calling you to who you really are. See that? But now you still have people in your life that used to know you. And they're stuck on who you were. And they'll try to get in your business and try to get you to stay where you were. Huh? To stop what you're doing. Whoa! So that's not what we're talking about right here, right? I remember when we go to Cades Cove for vacation down in the Smoky Mountains. And one time we were down there, and you could rent horses there and go up the mountain, through the mountain, and come back, make a circle and come back. Well, we were on these horses, and they gave us a little training. And one of the things they told us to say was, "Whoa." You know, that's W-O-A, not W-O-E. It's "Whoa." And so you pull back on the rein and said, "Whoa." The horse knew what you're saying. He would stop. Well, we were on this mountain, and my son was in front of me, and this guy was in front of my son, and my daughter was behind me on a horse. So we're enjoying this, and, "Oh, this is cool, you know, we're on horses," and you felt like you're back in time, you know, because everything's all the country around you, you know. And then this guy that was in front of my son, "I know this horse is going to just buck me off. This is my first time on a horse," and he's going on and on and on about how he's going to get bucked off. And I was a believer then, and I thought, "You need to shut up. Because you're just prophesying what's going to happen." And so he's going on and on. So we get up half the mountain. All of a sudden, that horse, it bucks up. And there he goes off, and he rolls down a little bit off the side of the mountain. And he's holding on to a tree. "I told you he was going to do that." I thought, "Oh, my goodness." So we're all discombobulated, and he's got the guide, and we're all stopped, and we're all getting off. You know, it's because he didn't know how to say "whoa." He didn't know how to stop himself. He was taught to say "whoa." You got to learn to say "stop" some things yourself. Are you with me? So, here's what I'm trying to say. Whoa. Jesus is saying, "Whoa. Something's coming that is detrimental to your life." He's talking to religious leaders, people who studied the word, who understood. But he's telling them, "Whoa." Then he calls them blind guides. Well, that's like our Jesus, isn't it? And he's just full of love, and he's got a lamb on his shoulder, and he's going to sit down and tell you a story. Blind guides? Look at this. This is the religious leaders he's talking to. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. They only understood the temple as being a building and physical. But Jesus was bringing in the kingdom and this understanding that you are the temple now. See, things were changing. It was creating frustration. It was creating struggles and difficulties. Listen, "You blind guides who say whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it." They had the gold mixed with what the temple represented. The temple represented God's will and his ways. Gold, they were talking about putting the gold first. Gold represented wealth. Are you catching this? They were putting the gold before the temple. Stay with me. "Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that satisfies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it." Fools and blind, this is still Jesus talking. "For which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it." Now he's talking. "Woe," he says again, "woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Boy, that's our Jesus, isn't it? You hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. See, justice, mercy, that's the weightier matters. But look, he says, you pay tithes. People say, well, tithing is not in the New Testament. Right there it is. Stay with me. Justice and mercy and faith, these you ought to have done. All that what he said before. Now look, without leaving the others undone. Give me the next one. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. That's a picture, isn't it? Woe again, he says. Woe to... I don't want to be in that bunch that he says. I want to be in a place where Jesus is smiling on me. It says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. You can please God and he can be happy with you. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. He's talking about the heart. Now look, give me the next one. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. It starts in us. Amen? Starts in us. You see, when change takes place, we always want to go back to what we knew. You see that? Remember when Moses was leading the people and he went up on top of the mountain for 40 days to hear from God so he could come down and give the people, the Israelites, direction? But now Israel had just been delivered out of Egypt. Israel was delivered out of Egypt. Okay, now, while Moses is up on the mountain for them 40 days, they're building a golden calf. They're taking all their jewelry and all this and melting it down, and they build a golden calf, and they're worshiping this golden calf. Why? Because that's the type of image of God that they knew back in Egypt. They're worshiping a God in the image that they knew about, their experience that they understood. So they didn't understand this new God yet. So they're doing that, and he comes back down, and they're doing all kinds. They're drunk. They're having order. They're doing all the stuff they used to do. See, here's the problem. See, what happens is they were delivered out of Egypt, but now we need to get Egypt out of them. You see that? And that's what's going on with us. And in that transition, sometimes it can be difficult in our lives. Am I talking to the right people? It can be difficult. Now, go with me to Matthew 15. Let them alone. Now, still, Jesus is talking to the faith community, the leaders in the area and the faith community. Now this phrase, let them alone, means leave them. In other words, some of your Bible says, leave them. In other words, leave these blind leaders, leave them. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. You see that? You need to watch who you're listening to today. Because not everybody can see spiritually. That's what Jesus is showing. Because they're looking at all the physical. He says, you're blind. He's saying you're blind spiritually. There's some people who are in spiritual leadership that haven't been born again. And so they're leading people blindly. You can't lead with 3 points in a poem today. You need the real deal. Now, go with me to Luke 10. Like I was saying, the Holy Spirit will teach you and show you what you need to get rid of, what you need to eliminate in your life to keep following Jesus. You know, I talked to a young man this week, and he had gotten baptized in this church and saved, and it's been close to a year, and he was telling me how he used to just do weed and smoke weed, marijuana, and drink alcohol, and that was a big portion of his life. But he said he stopped all that, and he hasn't touched it since he got saved and baptized. Well, this person was coming around with a 12-pack or whatever and a bag of weed all the time, wanting him to get him to do that because he knew him before, you see? And so he had to say, look, you don't want to go to Bible study. You don't want to go to church. I don't want to smoke your weed, and I don't want to drink anymore. You're going to have to stop coming by here. He said, you can't come here anymore. That's really what you need to do. That's what you need to do. I'm not telling you to stop, am I? I'm trying to show you. The Holy Spirit showed him that. I didn't tell him to do that. You catching this? The Holy Spirit begins to work in you because you begin to see things when you're listening to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense? Now, look at this. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into the city and place where he himself was about to go. Jesus is never going to send you anywhere that he won't go. See that? Jesus is not going to ask you to do something he wouldn't do. But in reality, that's what's going on. We need to do what we say we do. See this? I'm not going to ask you to do something I wouldn't do. Make sense? So, Jesus is not a blind leader. Look at this. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So really, if you want to talk about Jesus and you want to talk about things, you should be out there winning people to Jesus. You're not on your job for the money. You're on your job to represent Christ. Period. When you start to understand that, you'll get promoted. You'll get new jobs. You are there to represent Christ. Well, you don't understand. They treat me, they mistreat me on the job, and they act like this towards me, and they act like they're not doing that towards you. They're coming at Jesus in you.
Save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Say